Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like the Dapper Dawn,
giving a microphone,
fresh,
dress,
like a million bucks,
buying
things in its cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Everybody, y'all listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. I have something, and it so describes how I was living. It so captures the feelings that I had about beginning on the pathway of my dreams. It so describes how I felt when I was about to attempt something. And I have some striking news for you. It describes often how I feel still today to a degree. So let me tell you what that is. And I know it's happened to a lot of people. Here's an analogy that I've heard a couple of different ways, but I've kind of, you know, fixed it around to where I can drink it better. And I think it fits my personality to describe it to people best this way. You know, I've talked often about the urgency of doing something with your life, of getting started today, of stopping the procrastination and putting it off and waiting on all your ducks to line up in a row and waiting until the stars align themselves. If you're waiting on such a thing, you're never going to get started. I don't know too many people who can say that all the ducks just lined up in a row. Things happen. Things happen. Even when you get them lined up, one of the ducks get out of line or somebody knock over the dominoes, something happens. But here's the point I'm getting at. God has so many blessings available to you. You who's listening, God has so many blessings available to you from where you are right now. I don't care what you've gotten yourself into or what you've done. God has so many blessings that he can send your way, but you have to do something. See, a lot of people just sit around and go, man, something always happening to you. You always getting a break. You always doing this. You always doing, man, don't nothing come my way. Listen to me. If nothing ever comes your way, you know why that is? It's because you're not doing anything. I promise you, you're not. See, here's the deal. God has all these blessings he wants to send you, but you got to give him something to work with now. Come on. You have to give God something to work with. God will bless you. God can touch people's hearts on your behalf. He can move situations around for you. He can align the stars. He can set the ducks up in a row. But align the stars and move people around and touch people's hearts and set the ducks up in a row for what? Based on what? Have you put forth any effort? Have you made a single step in any direction to do the right thing or go the right way that gives him something to put his finger on? Come on, man. God can only bless you according to your faith. If you have a little bit of faith, give him that. Let him work with that. He can do that. You know, man, I didn't always start with these speeches you hear in the morning now. I ain't always had these. I grew to these. I stumbled my way to these. I messed up my way to these here. I got it wrong so many times to be able to sound like I got some sense. I said it often, failure is a wonderful teacher. Do you know how many times I have had to have failed to have what I have in my head today? I'm telling you, man, it's a process. People get mad at the process. You got to do something to give God something to work with. He'll bless you, but what you want me to bless if you ain't putting forth any effort, if you just sit down and start, I got a book coming out, I'm telling you, man, that's going to really explain this thoroughly, man, where you can get blessed from wherever you are in your life, wherever your starting point is, wherever you find yourself wound up, you can get it back from there. I've done it. Man, by the grace of God, I done it. I got over, man. I learned some things along the way. Because here's the deal. As long as God keeps waking you up in the morning, he ain't through with you yet. When he's done, you're done. But if God still has a plan for you, you wake up in the morning. He still got some more work for you to do, you wake up in the morning. So if you keep waking up, man, it's something that God wants from you, would love to have from you. And he can work with you, man, if you just walk towards him a little bit. So here's the deal. I know it's hard for the average person to start, because the fear of the unknown is incredible. What if I fail? What if I don't get picked? You know, one of the hardest things I ever did was walking in to quit my job. Oh, man, let me tell you about that day when I decided that I was going to be a full-time comedian after winning an amateur night one time. Quitting your job, following your dream, going for it despite all the naysayers, it's like stepping off a cliff. It's like actually just walking off the edge of a cliff, hoping now, not really knowing, but hoping. Hoping is the bare basis of faith. I stepped off that cliff hoping that my parachute would open and allow me to drift down. See, I've never skydived before. But I would imagine part of the thrill, and I don't know this because I'm not going to skydive to find out. I think part of the thrill for people is the danger part of throwing yourself out of a plane and how it feels to be free falling. But the whole time they're free falling, having this exhilarating over the top moment, you have got to believe in your heart of hearts. You have got to hope with everything in you that when you pull this cord, the chute opens, or else this ain't a good move at all. But you've packed your chute yourself. You've taken the lessons, so you go ahead and you make the leap. Now, the only thing about quitting your job and following your dream is you ain't really been trained all that good for this. You done packed your chute, but you ain't never opened it before. So I walked off this cliff. That's what it was like. And you following your dream is like you walking off a cliff. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the part where people don't never make the jump. They see somebody like myself who jumped off the cliff and the parachute don't open right away. And I hit a couple rocks on the way down. I got my back cut up pretty bad. I got my clothes ripped off. They see that. 3 years living in a car. Man, he got his life towed down jumping off that cliff. I ain't jumping off that cliff. But see, what you don't understand is, You don't know it, but eventually the chute will open. And I'm at the parachute opening part of my life, man. where the chute didn't open and I'm drifting. And I'm able to go over to Paris, guide my chute over to Paris and glide. I've glided over to Africa and seen what it looked like. It's a slow ride down when the parachute finally opened. And my back didn't heal, too. And the cuts that I had on me, I remember now I know how to stay away from the edge. But the parachute done opened. And I'm enjoying my life for the first time. I'm gliding. But I got hit up against a rock. I can see more. I get a chance to see more things. I get to glide and see more parts of the world. I'm living my dream. The parachute opened. Your parachute is going to open, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. It'll never open if you don't step off that cliff. You got to step off that cliff. God will get the parachute open for you, but you got to jump, baby. That's the hard part, ain't it? Now, the question is, the end of this story right here today, when you jumping?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Today, I will dedicate this entire show from me to you as a gift. I am going to give you nothing but total ignorance. Tommy will be today required to be the straight man. As difficult as that may be, I'm going to see if he can talk. He just say, I'm going to see if he can reel it back in and allow me the space to be ignorant today. Shirley will provide massive doses of laughter and will call her. Yes. Junior will be here in utter disbelief at the things I have said.
I can't believe it now.
In that high-pitched voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Morning Show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What's up, Shirley?
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Carla.
Hey, Steve. What up, crew?
Junior.
Morning, Unc.
Oh, he tried to
change his voice.
Tried to go deep. Didn't work.
You almost choked, didn't you?
Tommy.
Uncle Steve. Straight man I am.
There you go. All right, let the ignorance begin. How y'all want it?
Hey, embarrass me.
Fatty and first. <'Cause>
any more roach stories.
After yesterday with the roach story.
Man, you blew my phone up.
What y'all need?
You blew my phone up.
Man.
What happened, Tommy?
Text messages.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures of roaches. People.
Everybody was talking about that yesterday, Steve. Well, we had a strawberry letter about a woman who was dating a man with who had a roach infestation in his house. Mm-hmm. And then you went on to tell about some of your childhood roach stories, and they were hilarious.
Mm-hmm. We all have them, maybe not to that degree.
No.
I've been over a partner's house that had mice the same damn way.
Oh.
Not as many as roaches, but the equivalent, though.
I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, you're going to see
them. Because, see, once you see four mice, that's like seeing 100 roaches.
I wouldn't have made it.
Four mice is equivalent to 100 roaches. But I kid you not, I said in his living room, I kid you not, man, at minimum 50 mice.
What?
At minimum.
You're kidding 50. Me.
You're no, I don't believe
there's
that.
There's no way, 50?
No, I'm listening to me. Like it was a damn convention.
What I'm they meeting you, on? What are they meeting on?
Oh, God, Steve.
Cheese, probably.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the story. I'll tell you the story when we come back. Ignorance begins.
That's 30-something funny right there.
Embarrass me.
Don't miss the rat convention when we come back.
Oh, they're meeting about cheese. We'll be back at 32 after.
Oh, man. This boy
okay, Swiss cheese, cheddar cheese.
Pepper Jack.
What city was this, Steve?
Cleveland, Carla.
No.
For real? It wasn't Cleveland?
No, the mice story happened in Memphis.
Oh, Memphis.
And the roach story was what city? That was Cleveland.
I'm going to have to change some names to
All right, well, we'll be back at 32 after the hour.
Walking a thin line.
With the mice story.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
This is our time for something funny. Steve has a mice story, a story about mice out of Memphis, but some names have been changed to protect the innocent, as we understand.
This is first 48?
Yeah, girl, yeah.
I was a young act, wasn't in the business long. Had a friend of mine that lived in Memphis, this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I had checked into a hotel down there, but it was like really, really messed up. It was only like, you know, $14 a night.
Ooh.
So, you know.
Oh, that door was outside right there.
And so, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So whoever, I can see the car.
Yeah.
I can see the car.
Back, call up to the
door. So I called him on his house phone. I said, hey, man, I'm in a bad spot. He said, man, just come on over to the house, man. My mom and them, they don't mind. You know they love you. Get yourself something to eat. So I got over there about 10:30. His mom and them in the bed. His brother on the couch sleep. I'm in the kitchen with him. We eating. Mm-hmm. So he said, hey, man, just enjoy yourself. I'm going out. I said, man, I got to get up early in the morning, like about 5 in the morning, get back out on this road. I got to drive somewhere. He said, no problem, man. You can stay in my sister's bed because she gone. So I'm in his sister's bed, little bitty twin bed. And I hear these noises.
Oh, Lord.
And my suitcase is on the floor over there. And I look, and a mouse crawls out of my suitcase.
Oh, my God.
Now I got to get up and unpack. It's about 1:30. I got to unpack.
Was your suitcase open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking nothing of it. How the hell I know?
Yeah.
So now I got to unpack, shake out everything, make sure I ain't got no mice in this luggage, because I can't put this in my car because I live in it. What you can't live in is a mice-infested car. That can hate
a mouse in the house.
Yeah, now I'm just driving their ass cross-country. I'm committing felonies. So I get up and I say, man, let me go in the living room, man. What the hell going on?
Oh,
so I go in the living room and I'm in a chair and I hear this scratching by my head. And I turn around and it's a mouse on the top of the Lazy Boy chair by my head.
Oh my God.
Now I done stood straight up. I done damn near touched the ceiling.
I bet you did.
And I had nodded off. So that's about 1:30 in the morning now. Now, my boy, he gone out. So I sit up, and I noticed this mouse run across the floor from under the couch to this big round coffee table they had in the middle that was made out of fur, but you could go up under. So I saw this mouse run up under the table.
Lord.
I said, man, there's one on the back of the chair, one on the table. I said, man, how many damn mice in here? So then a mouse just shot across the TV, just ran across the damn TV.
What?
It was a flow model. So I said, okay, man, hold up, man.
Flow model.
So he had a fold-away chair up against the wall. You know them metal fold-away chairs they have at church? I got a metal fold-away chair and put it up. And I got another one for my feet to get up in. And I put my foot up in this chair. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you at all. Mm-hmm. Them damn mice was everywhere. They start running across the floor. I said, man, is it 1:30?
Yes.
Is this the prime time?
I was just going to ask you about that.
They was running across the floor, man. They was crawling all up on the backs of the chairs. And I look up on top of the curtain, and it's two mice on top of the curtain. So I look at the curtains, and the curtains is moving.
I'm out.
The mice is crawling up the back of the curtains up on the top rod.
Right.
Now, his brother is on the couch.
How you know that's his brother?
That's how you know it's the mouse brother.
No.
It's a family.
No, yeah. Yeah, my boy's brother was on the couch sleep. His little brother. He's 16.
Oh, we thought you meant the mouse rats, brother.
The mouse brother.
No, the mice all over the couch. They on his shoulder.
He ain't woke up.
I'm looking at him. I'm so scared for this boy.
Oh, my God.
I said, man, there's actually enough of them over there. They could really start eating your ass. you'd be able to get them in time because they're just mice. But these mice was up, and I kid y'all not, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. And I had my feet up in the fold-away chair because I'm going, man, what the hell is going on? And my eyes is burning because I can't blink because I can't take my eyes off these damn mice. My eyes is burning. If I ever needed Visine, I needed it then. I was mortified.
Man, you
damn mice was running across that floor, climbing up on this couch over there on that boy's shoulder. Then every now and then I just see him brush something. Like, oh, that ain't no fly. Right. She brushing like them is mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Well, wake your ass up and help me through this.
Help you.
So I wanted to wake him up, man, because I needed some help to understand this. I'm telling you, man, I've never seen that many mice in my life.
One location.
And I mean, they just running back and forth all over the furniture, across the TV.
Yeah, this day time.
So about 2:35 in the morning, about 3, mm-hmm. I've been up the whole time. I ain't slept a wink. I'm scared to take my foot off the chair.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
The key stick in the door. Uh-huh. It's my boy. He coming back in. Uh-huh. He put the key in the door and turned the lock. Mm-hmm. He opened the door. Hey, man, what's happening? Wasn't a mouse, no damn. <That's> a <man. laughs>
You can't explain it. Don't even try, dog.
I'm looking at him, man. He said, love, what's happening, man? I said, man, you know what the hell happened.
You're mad at
he
him.
He said, what's wrong? I said, man, you see. Ain't a mouse. No damn. I said, man, you looking over. Wasn't no mice. I said, they all up on the curtain. Curtains ain't moving. So, man, they been running up under. Ain't a mouse. No damn boy.
Like a dream.
His brother sleep like ain't nothing wrong. Uh-huh. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. He came in. He said, yeah, bro. I'm hungry as hell. You want something to eat, boy? Hell no.
Not at this house.
I said, I tell you what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to go get in my car. Mm. I got to take off, man. I got to head in Nebraska. Oh, man, I thought you were going to leave a little bit late. Don't worry about that. I'm going to sleep in my damn car. And I need to get my car to the driveway because they're probably climbing up in there right now.
Wow, Steve. All right, look, coming up next, we got the nephew in the building with Run That Prank Back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with our national news for today. A lot going on in the world and in the country. But right now, it is time for the nephew and his prank phone call. Run That Prank Back.
Yes, let's get serious here, Shirley. I'm the straight guy today. The day is Weed in the Church Van. Weed in the Church Van. Thank you.
How long is that going to last?
I don't know. About 3 more minutes.
Oh, no.
It's killing me.
You can't hold it.
I don't like the assignment I've been given today.
I can't believe it.
What?
Tommy, the straight guy.
Mm-hmm. Weed in the church van. Let's go.
Hello?
I'm trying to reach Dan. Brother Dan. Dan.
Hold on. Let me cut the TV down.
Brother Dan.
Oh, this is
okay. Yeah, this is Brother Scott from the church, from Bethel Baptist.
Oh, hello, Brother.
Dan, I call you. I'm trying to get a little information about the church van. What's your schedule? You drive the church van. What's your schedule?
I drive it Wednesday, Fridays, and Sundays.
Okay, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Now, Sunday, what is that schedule?
Oh, well, Sunday, I usually start about 8 o'clock in the morning, probably a little earlier, depending on some of the elderly people that I have to go pick up and bring to the church, make sure they get there okay and get situated and make sure they're on time for the service and whatnot.
Okay, and then you take them back home after service is over?
Yes, I try to get all of them back home unless they got family members or something that come up there and meet them up there and want to take them to dinner or something afterwards. But I usually get everybody back home.
Okay. Now, this past Sunday, which is part of the reason why I'm calling you, they saying that some of the church members that was on the van this Sunday, they are complaining, saying that that the church van was smelling like weed when they got on there.
Excuse me?
They say the church van was smelling like weed when they got on there, and you are the person that was driving them.
Oh, no, not the van that I'm driving. I ain't smoke weed in no van.
Do you smoke weed?
No, I don't smoke weed. I mean, not currently. I mean, I have before, but I don't smoke weed now. And I wouldn't smoke weed before picking some people up to go to no church now. Where are you okay, getting it from? Who told you this?
Well, all I know is what's come down the pipeline is they saying that a couple of the members came complaining.
This just happened last week about this pipeline. I want to know who the pipeline is, because just last week they came at me talking about that I was using the van to go places that I wanted to go to on my personal time. Now, I don't do that. I don't do stuff like that. Now, I done had a past. I done had a history, but I don't do stuff like that, and I wasn't smoking no church van. So are you seriously talking?
We're trying to get to the bottom of it and see what's going on with you.
Well, which elderly person said it? Do you know which one?
I don't know.
They love me. Every Sunday, them people tell me they love me. They say I'm one of the most respectful young gentlemen they've ever met in their life. And so I really find it hard to believe that you getting these type of complaints about me.
Okay, well, one of them says, smell like ooh-wee. I don't know what that means or nothing like that.
Look, brother, I don't know you too well, and I know you don't know me, but I've been driving this van as a point to try to change my life and where I come from. So this was something that I wanted to volunteer, even though I'm getting paid, to give my time to do this for the church. And now this is like the second instance where y'all done came at me on some stuff about like I'm trying to do something with this van. Now, why would I disrespect the church van by smoking weed in it and then letting the weed stay in there so other people could smell it?
Okay, so let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go out here to the church van today. We're going to go out here today and open it up. Now, if we see any seeds or anything around the driver's seat, then we're gonna definitely have a finger pointing.
You're going to open the van up. Man, I was raised in that church, man. My mama go to that church. My grandma, she go to that church. She the reason we even all at that church. And you think I'm going to mess up their name by driving around in a van full of elderly people smoking some weed?
Then why do it smell like weed, Brother Dan?
I don't know why the van smell like weed, man. Now, I don't got the answers to these questions. I'm just trying to tell you that it wasn't me.
Did you have some weed in your pocket and maybe it would just smell it?
I ain't had no weed on me. Stop trying to say like I had weed on me. And you ain't going to give me nothing. I ain't had no and I ain't had no weed on me, okay? Now, you ain't going to mess up my name or my family's name in this church and disrespect us like this. Now, we've been helping this church for years, and I'm trying to tell you that I ain't riding around in no van smoking no weed with no elderly people. Did you ask any of the elderly people if they had any weed on them?
No, I didn't think about no elderly people having no weed.
So you just assume it's me. What, one of them got glaucoma or something?
What? You know what? You know who I think the weed belong to?
Who?
I think the weed belong to Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
What the heck? Man.
Damn, you just got pranked. Oh my God! You just got pranked. What is his name? His name is Lawrence.
Oh my God!
Larry. They call him Larry, but his name is Lawrence.
Oh man, I know Larry. Tell Larry, he in trouble with me. I'm gonna hit him with the van.
Oh man. Hey, I got one more thing to ask you, man. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man, Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. Yeah, I got me.
Oh, man, go on rest, man. Go on and chill out the rest of the day.
I try, man. I know I ain't gonna smoke no weed.
There it is. You can get that. That's on my new CD right there. Won't he do it? I'm pranking church people. You understand that, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, it's part of it. Uh-huh. You got to prank church people.
Where can I get this new CD?
In Walmart. Uh-huh. Oh, I did good, didn't I? How did that sound?
I don't know. I ain't here. What'd you say?
It was soft, but.
In Walmart.
See, if you weren't pranking church you people, maybe they can pray for you to get them H's off them
in
W's.
No, I got to laugh. I'm doing it to get you to laugh.
I don't mean to laugh.
Hey, Tommy, just real fast, say it now. Say it.
It won't.
He scared me.
That's how I used to do it when he was little. And then he'll scare himself. My daddy used to say, oh, that boy's stupid as hell.
All right, I got to get serious. Stop, stop, stop. Y'all laughing at me too much. Look, I may not can say my W's, but I bet you I can say this, that the nephew going to be in Baltimore, Maryland. I bet you I can say that. March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's right, tickets on sale at the Comedy Factory. The nephew is coming to town. One show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. The nephew coming to town. No W's allowed. Comedy Factory. Once again, March 1st, March 2nd, March 3rd. Get your tickets. One show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. Stupid is coming to town. Baltimore, get your ticket. The ignorance is coming to town. I ain't never been to the Comedy Factory. Get your tickets right now. Once again, March 1st, March 2nd, March 3rd. The nephew. That's right. Ignorance is going to laugh your butt off with no W's allowed. All right, you hear what I said. You hear what I said. No W's allowed. Comedy Factory, get your tickets. They on sale right now.
We're going to have more of today's national news. Our top story, students turning grief into action in Florida. They don't want any more school shootings, and neither do we. We'll be back with Miss Ann.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yesterday, massacre survivors from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School marched. The hashtag Never Again March to Florida State Capitol in Tallahassee. Also last night, there was a town meeting on CNN. Wow, powerful. There were students, teachers, political leaders, and a representative from the NRA. One representative, her name was Dana Lesh from the NRA, Republican Senator Mark Rubio. They were all in attendance. President Trump, he directed Justice Department to draft a ban on bump stocks, a device that makes it easier to fire rounds quicker. This was the same device used in the Vegas mass shooting back in October. Back to the students.
Excuse me one second, Shirley. Bump stocks do not affect the sales of guns or rifles at all. It's an aftermarket product. It's like
you buy the gun, then you buy that. Then you buy the bump stock.
It's like you buying rims for your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to the students. These unbelievably just so bright, so articulate, so smart students. Take a listen. Here's what one of them had to say.
We're just kids. I know myself, I'm only 16. I'm a junior in high school. Most of my worries are, what show am I going to watch at 6 p.m.? When do I do my homework? How do I fit in rehearsals for theater? I know for my other colleagues, it's sports or maybe film. But everybody needs to remember, we are just children. A lot of people think that that disqualifies us from even having an opinion on this sort of matter. As if maybe because we've been through a traumatic experience that we don't know what we're talking about, that we're speaking irrationally. And I want everybody to remember that is not the case. We, more than anybody else, understand the violence that comes through certain guns. We, more than anybody else, understand what it feels like to lose somebody. We, more than anybody else, understand. Sorry, it's difficult to talk about this sort of thing. The way people today have greeted us, or not greeted us, is that we aren't being taken seriously enough. Now, I personally don't know the steps that we're gonna have to take, but once we figure that out, we're gonna take them, and you better believe we're gonna take them as soon as possible. We are old enough to understand financial responsibilities. We are old enough to understand why a senator cares about re-election or not. We are old enough to understand why someone might want to discredit us for their own political purposes. But we will not be silenced. It has gone on long enough that we, just because we are kids, we are not allowed to understand. But trust me, I understand. I was in a closet, locked for 4 hours with people who I would consider almost family, crying and weeping on me, begging for their lives. I understand what it's like to text my parents, goodbye, I might never ever get to see you again, I love you. I understand what it's like to fear for your life. But it's going to happen, and it's going to happen before my lifetime, because I will fight every single day, and I know everyone else here will fight for the rest of their lives to see sensible gun laws in this country, and so that kids don't have to fear going back to school. Because I want everybody to know, I'm supposed to be going back to school in less than a week. I'm not ready. I don't think anybody here is ready. I don't think anybody here is ready to go back to class and just have an empty seat. And you know that that empty seat is because someone's dead. Because somebody lost their lives. And I don't know how I'm going to cope with it.
See, now that's what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. because yeah. this generation is going to be the one to change.
They're smart, man.
Because you're right. They're very smart. Yeah. They're educated. They can Google the facts. They know who took what from the NRA. That little boy talking about, he don't know if he's ready to go back to school because there's a chair missing. There's a body not in a chair,
empty
and we
chair.
Know why.
Yeah.
Because they dead. Mm-hmm. Y'all can play us if you want to, but we're going to be voting in 2 years. You're going to be out. This is the generation that will make the change because they're sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get some more facts on this, ladies and gentlemen. The voice of reason, the very own Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good morning, everybody out there. This is Ann Tripp with the news. That's absolutely right. High school students from around the Washington, D.C. area walked out of school yesterday and rallied outside the White House in support of the students in Parkland, Florida. In the wake of last week's massacre, they were demanding federal action on gun control.
I'm not trying to take away your Second Amendment rights, nor am I trying to eliminate all guns. But we cannot protect our guns before we protect our children.
It is time for lawmakers to realize that we are no longer asking to be heard, but that we are demanding it, and that in a couple of years, a significant and effective change does not come. We will use the power of our vote.
And many others held up handmade signs and chanted about the National Rifle Association. That's hey, hey, ho, ho, the NRA has got to go. Meanwhile, about 100 Parkland, Florida high school students walked the halls of the Tallahassee legislature yesterday, urging elected officials there to propose anti-firearms measures. That's despite the fact that in recent years, Florida's mostly Republican legislature has only voted to expand gun rights and not retard them. The movement's called Never Again. There may be at least some changes coming, some minor ones. GOP leaders in the Sunshine State's House and Senate, along with Florida's Governor Rick Scott, now say they're working on proposals that would tighten some of the state's gun laws, like one that would raise the age for purchasing weapons to 21. Also, proposals to strengthen background checks and to allow police to take guns away from people considered threats. By the way, the president said to the people at his listening session, what about having teachers and everyone else in school carry a gun? Most of the parents said, no, that's worse. That just exacerbates the problem. Okay, the numbers on Black Panther keep getting bigger. And they now say the Afrocentric superhero flick has brought in $404 million worldwide, with moviegoers flocking to the theaters in the UK, Belgium, the Ukraine, South Korea, Mexico, and Brazil. Black Panther now set for release to Russia, China, and Japan. And believe it or not, the UK has a chicken shortage, specifically southern fried chicken. KFC's ran out of chicken and closed the restaurants, and the Brits really love their fried chicken. They've been calling the cops and everything. Back to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so just to continue this conversation, I mean, and it's one that should be had, you know. Thank God for these young people.
Man, I applaud these kids.
Yeah, really. They've been marching. They've been holding town hall meetings, the survivors from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. They have a lot to say, and they want to be heard. And in a couple of years, they really want to be heard with their votes. Yep. They're doing what's called the Never Again March. They have another march planned for March 24th to Washington to talk about the same issue. And here's some more of what the students had to say.
So that they will not dismiss us any longer, so they won't reschedule, so they won't push us into another room as they dance around our questions. Because we came here prepared, and we're going to come to every single meeting with every single legislator prepared. We know what we want. We want gun reform. We want common sense gun laws. We want stronger mental health checks and background checks to work in conjunction. We want a better age limit. We want privatized selling to be completely reformed so you can't just walk into a building with $130 and walk out with an AR-15. We want change, and we know how to get this change. Because we didn't fail. The people around us failed us. And if they continue to fail us, and they will no longer be in office, because soon we will be given the ability to vote, and we will vote them out. And the people around us will vote them out. They must do right by us, or they will lose their jobs. And we have brought that up to them time and time again, because this is no longer a chance for you to just dismiss us, for you to ignore us and keep doing whatever it is that you want to do while telling us that you want us to be safe and you don't want anything to happen like this again, but not taking any action.
They are going to vote them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2020 gonna be big.
They mean it when they say they want change. They really, really
do.
Yeah,
they're not playing.
Yeah, and they want to be heard. On one hand, yes, they are just kids. But on the other hand, these are the ones that can make the very difference in change in this country when it comes to our gun laws.
This is it. Yeah, these kids are going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you saying, Carla?
The lawmakers, they wanted to debate on porn being dangerous versus assault rifles.
Porn?
Yesterday, denied.
Well, see, that's the political move.
Mm-hmm.
Let's act like something else is on the agenda so we don't have to address that while they're here.
Take the focus off, huh? Mm-hmm.
They don't want to deal with it.
They just deflect it. They change the narrative like that. But they messing with these kids who got time. See, Daniel. These senators ain't got the time these cats got.
Porn?
The kids, yeah.
The kids.
They have more experience than them. But them kids gonna figure it out. Because let me tell you something. This is simply money and power.
Yeah.
They not willing to give up either one of them. But there is a way you can take both of them from them. Mm-hmm.
The vote.
That's all. The vote is bigger than the power and the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You kill my friend.
That's right. There you go. Boy. There you go.
Boy.
Yeah.
And all of them to say it.
But your comeback is porn?
All right. We'll be talking about this all morning, of course. And when we come back, some sad news to report for Wendy Williams. We'll be back at 34 after.
Wendy?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Wow. Some really sad news for Wendy Williams. We all know her, of course, from radio, and now she's a big TV star in the daytime. Wendy is taking several weeks off from her daytime TV talk show, and this is on doctor's orders now. She's got to deal with a medical crisis related to hyperthyroidism. We remember a few weeks back, I don't know if this
That's
had
when your
anything
eyes
to do with
Shirley.
It.
Ain't that what the thigh thing is?
See?
What?
I don't have it. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that
You ought
right
to have
now. Gonna tell you that right now. Back to Wendy.
Mommy.
He's so stupid.
I mean, she's looking like she
he
got
can't it. Even say it's W's. Yeah. Wendy announced at the top of Wednesday's show. Say that.
Yesterday.
You can't say it. Yeah.
Wendy announced at the top of Wednesday's show what?
That she's suffering from Graves' disease, a very serious disease. It's an immune system disorder. She says one of the symptoms affects the muscles behind her eyeballs, which she then, of course, tried to turn into a joke. It sounds like from what we know right now that she's going to be okay, but her doctor does say that she immediately needs to take 3 weeks off for vacation.
You should have took a year off then. Big as your eyes. Go ahead.
You gonna get your nephew, Mr.
No.
Harvey? You gonna get him?
No, I'm not. No.
You gonna allow him to talk about my eyes like
no,
this?
No, I'm not allowing him to
talk. I don't have Graves' disease.
Stop.
You want me to stop?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But you stop talking about Shirley because the story isn't about Shirley.
No, it's about Wendy.
So what's up with Wendy's eyes?
I just told you. She has Graves' disease. She's a medical crisis. Her doctor has ordered her to take 3 weeks off. And Wendy says she's
So you have to keep your eyes closed?
Take about 2 weeks off. No, she's going to have to take medication, things like that.
Is it eye drops or something?
Is he ignorant for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
But what happened when she rolled her eyes?
You thought he was joking, Shirley?
I'm
in a lot for words
question.
Here.
Huh?
Did you not hear me say it's an immune system disorder? It has something to do with your immune system.
Okay, so.
Don't say anything.
If you have an
Stop
irregular
talking.
Thyroid,
Stop
it
talking.
Causes a hormonal imbalance because, to my understanding, it regulates your hormones or something to your pituitary gland.
Yeah, pituitary
gland. So what's the difference between hemorrhoid and thyroid? They two roids.
Your thyroid, like you say, is in your thigh. And your hemorrhoids is somewhere around the hem.
Wow. The hem Take of your that. Garment?
Hemorrhoids should be asteroid, though. I've made that point before, but hemorrhoids should be asteroid. I don't care what nobody's saying. And Wendy would be feeling a lot better if she had asteroids in opposed to the thyroid, wouldn't she? And she might have asteroids, too. Have y'all looked that up?
I'm leaving
the amount of hate I have in my heart for you right now cannot be expressed.
This is serious, Tommy.
Asteroids is too,
All
Carla.
This is being said on the Steve Harvey Show, but Steve ain't saying
but,
none of it.
But not by Steve, though.
You want a disclaimer?
Yeah. But Graves' disease, it is that disease when you do see people.
You see people what?
Never mind. I don't want to say that because you're going to start talking about my eyes.
I'm not. Just say it for me so I know.
Well, you know, sometimes when you see people, some people, and their eyes look like they're bugging or they're coming out.
Right.
Okay, that's kind of related to this. That's one of the symptoms of Graves' disease.
But not that you don't have it. So what you got?
What are you saying?
Because hers is bugging. They've been bugging.
What, her eyes?
Yes.
You're foul, Tommy. You can't say that.
You don't see. Okay, hold on. You're right across the room.
Thank you, Junior.
Look at her eyes.
I'm looking at her.
And Steve is awfully quiet right now, and you better stay quiet because.
Well, what I've learned to do is I don't make any comments about Wendy Williams.
No.
I would prefer she not make any about me. So I just stay away from all things.
How you doing?
I do wish her well with her health and everything. I want her to.
Absolutely.
I
absolutely,
wish her well with
Steve.
Her health.
I'm with
I want
you
the
on
sister
that.
To be yeah. okay, healthy wise.
Yeah.
Well, call and ask her, how you doing? So we can see how she doing. She always ask everybody else how they doing.
What is it, Tommy? It's so many stupid things that have been said in like the last few minutes of this show. Wow.
How you doing?
All right, look, we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I think you have a prank phone call coming up.
You got iRoy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
I think we've all gotten ourselves together now. Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter, the subject, I'm married to three people. All right, you don't want to miss that one. But up next,
gotta
it's
be exciting,
like
yes, Lord.
Really,
I get in line for that.
Well, you know, all you got to do is add one word to that, and this is about me.
What's that word?
No, I've been married.
Yeah, I was married. All right, listen, nephew's here with his prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Well, every church has one. The
you
preacher.
Work on churches?
Yeah, the preacher's wife. It ain't the movie. It ain't the movie. Oh. It's the prank. The preacher's wife. Run it, Kat.
Oh, God.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Sister Angela. Sister Angela, please.
This is she.
How you doing? My name is Brother Clayton. I'm calling you from Greater Baptist Church. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, listen, I know that your husband, Reverend Jonathan, is actually one of the candidates that we may be choosing to be our pastor, since yes. our past pastor has stepped down.
Yes. I'm very proud of my husband. I think he'll make a very good candidate, as a matter of fact.
Here at the church, we've been asking a lot of the deacons and assistant ministers here have been asking different questions, different things that they would be doing once they became pastor. You know, like your first 100 days, what would you try and change here at the church, or try and make better,
okay.
so to speak. Yeah.
Did you speak to my husband? He's not here right now. Did you need to speak to him?
No, not right now. What we decided to do, Sister Angela, is actually call the wives and ask them a few questions.
Oh, okay. That's a little different. Sure.
And we don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, a lot of times, if a pastor is stressed at home, 9 times out of 10, he's likely to be stressed at the church. So I guess my biggest question to you is your husband stressed at home?
No, not that I know of. He eats regularly. He's on a good diet. You know, he goes to the doctor regularly, gets his physical. Pretty good at home. I don't have a reason to believe that he's stressed. He certainly hasn't brought anything to my attention.
Okay. I don't think you follow me. Sister Angela, what I'm saying is he stressed behind closed doors? Is he stressed in that fashion?
I'm not too sure I follow you. You say behind closed doors. What exactly did you mean by that?
Is he stressed in y'all's relations? Is he stressed?
Are you asking me about my personal business, brother?
Well, what I'm saying is if he's stressed at home, he'll be stressed at the church. And if he's stressed at the church, then the members are stressed. Then the congregation is stressed. So the stress starts with you.
Excuse me?
If you are making sure that he's all right at home, he's going to be all right at the church.
I'm sorry, brother. What was your name?
Brother Clayton.
Brother Clayton. I appreciate you conducting whatever interviews you guys need to conduct with the candidates' wives. I do think that's pretty much personal territory, and I really don't want to answer those kind of questions.
It's not personal, Sister Angela, when there's so many other people involved. See, that's why I'm asking you the question. Is your man stressed behind?
Brother Clayton, I could assure you that my husband is not stressed at home, if I get your drift.
Okay.
He is not stressed behind closed doors, brother. And I would appreciate you if you don't call with these kind of questions. Are you asking other candidates' wives these kind of questions?
Well, I was the one dedicated to call to give you a call, and that's the question that I decided to come up with, because I want to know if a man is going to be stressed, because if he's going to have tension at the church, then the congregation's going to have tension, the church is going to have tension, and the church cannot
brother
move
Clayton,
forward in the direction on which
brother
we're
Clayton.
Going.
My husband and I have been married 25 years, and they've been 25 good years, if you get my drift, okay? He is not stressed at home. And whatever goes on at home, my husband has sense enough not to take it to the church. That is not something he's going to do. So you don't have to worry about anybody else being stressed at the congregation, in the pulpit, nowhere, okay? We have our stuff together at home, and I appreciate it if you don't ask me those kind of questions. Now,
but
you can find something else to ask me.
But sometimes a woman does not realize that her husband is stressed. You understand? There's a possible way that you don't know that he's stressed.
Brother,
so how can you get...
Let me get your phone. Matter of fact, let me get your full name. What's your first name?
Let's just go with Brother Clayton right now. Could you please answer this question? How can you guarantee that he is fully not stressed?
Brother Clayton? Let me call on the Lord real quick. Hold on. Brother Clayton, I'm an honorable woman. I'm a woman who stands by my man, okay? But you are asking me some questions that's very personal, very private, very confidential. You are asking me questions that are a question of the sanctity of my marriage, okay? My husband is not stressed. And if I need I don't send him away from my home stressed, okay?
How do you not?
I know.
But what are you doing to make sure that it's less stress?
Brother Clayton, I'm about to end this phone call, okay? Now, if you...
We're not going to end this
question.
Phone
now,
call until that we know. I need to know that Reverend Jonathan is not stressed at home. They assigned me to talk to you, and that's
so what
I'm going to do, and I'm going to leave.
Okay, he is not stressed. I don't know who told you that. The man is not stressed. Is he acting stressed around you? He's not acting stressed at home.
I bet you he's stressed because you're stressing me right now. Now, we're both stressed out. How can we understand that man is not stressed?
That's the end of this conversation. Do you understand me? Give me your full name right now.
Give me some intimate details, and then I'll give you my number.
You have crossed the line. You wait till my husband gets here. If this is going to cost him a candidacy, then so be it. We'll find another church. I'd have some choice words for you right now. Ooh, Brother Clayton.
I will give you my name right now. Do you have a pen?
Yes, I'm going to write it right now.
The letter N, N is in Nancy. E, P.
You moving slow. What? I know how to spell now. Talk up faster.
N E P H E W.
What kind of name is that? Nephew. Your name is Nephew Clayton?
My name ain't Nephew Clayton. My name is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your husband, Reverend Jonathan.
Hold on. You said this is Nephew Tommy.
This is Nephew Tommy.
Oh, my God.
From the Steve Harvey Morning Show, your husband got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to kill it. Oh, Lord, I don't mean that. Oh, my God. Bro, y'all didn't stress me. Y'all didn't stress me this morning. I can't believe I let him get me. You know, I've heard these pranks before. My God. Tommy, I will tell you, if this was 25 years ago, brother, I cussed up a storm. I'm so glad I'm a saved woman.
Well, listen. Can I ask you one more thing?
Yes.
What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You know, every now and then you got to test the first lady. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Make sure she ready.
You play too much.
What?
You don't need to prank the first lady. The pastor's wife, what's wrong with you?
Why? Who else am I prank?
You're really kind of out of control.
Not her.
Today.
Who you want me to prank, Carla? Wendy Williams?
We wish her the best, by the way.
We do, but this is no prank right here. The nephew is coming to Baltimore, Maryland. Did you hear me? I said the nephew is coming to Baltimore, Maryland. Get ready, get ready, get ready. March 1st, March 2nd, March 3rd. The nephew will be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Comedy Factory. Tickets are on sale right now. Did you hear me? Baltimore. Baltimore and everybody around the way. Ignorance is coming to town. I ain't never been to the Comedy Factory, and I'm coming March 1st, 2nd, 3rd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. One show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. Ignorance is coming to town. I just pranked the first lady, so all you first ladies out there, yes, sir, come on out and hang out with the nephew. I'm not going to prank you, but I'm going to let you get your laugh on.
Coming up at the top of the hour, today's Strawberry Letter. I'm married to three people is the subject.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice for your particular situation, all you have to do is submit your Strawberry Letter at SteveHarveyFM.com. I'll say it again. Submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com. Steve and I could be reading your letter on the air, just like we're going to do this one right now. Go ahead, nephew.
Buckle up and hold on tight. She is here, Big Sister Iroids with the Strawberry Letter.
Stop. Thank you, little man. Little man, thank you.
Oh, I'm little. Mm-hmm.
They did a movie about you.
Little man.
It was called Little Man. Subject, I'm married to three people. Dear Stephen Shirley, greetings from the Dirty South. I have this dilemma that I've dealt with for 21 years, and I finally had enough. My problem is that I'm married to three people. My husband, his single sister, and his widowed mother. He can't do anything without his sister's and his mother's advice. He talks to them about our marriage, our children, and our finances, probably our sex life too. He talks to his mama as if he doesn't have a wife and four children at home. Any argument that we have, he calls his sister and gets her opinion on it. And yes, of course they hate me because he plays the victim in every situation. He's always available to help his mom and sister out whenever they call him, and he will do whatever they need him to do, often leaving me to run our home alone with the kids. When he's home with us, he spends most of his time on the couch watching cartoons. I know this is not right, and I sound crazy for dealing with this for so long. I should have dropped him off at his mama's house a long time ago and let them be one big old happy family. I value your advice, Steve, so give it to me straight. What should I do? How can I get this grown man to stop being a mama's boy? Well, you hit so many points on the head. I mean, you know, so many things are wrong in your marriage. I, for one, don't understand how you've dealt with it for 21 long years. That's a long, long time to deal with this kind of stuff, to be married to three people at the same time, your husband, his single sister, and his widowed mother. That's a long, long time to be put second, third, and fourth in a marriage. This is really on you. I mean... He is a child. He's immature. And you're right. He's a mama's boy. He took a vow. Remember back 21 years ago when you guys got married, he took a vow, you know, to leave the family and cleave to his wife, all that. Let no man separate you guys. But he's done just that. Perhaps he didn't take those vows seriously. Well, that's plain to see that he didn't. I just don't know why you have put up with it for so long. But if you finally had enough, be done if you're done. I know you have four children. You don't say how old they are or anything. But, you know, no one should have to put up with this. And my question to you is, why have you put up with it so long? And if you don't want to, you know what you have to do. I mean, if this man is on the couch watching cartoons, that I don't get. Does he work? Does, you know, what is he doing? I don't understand. You need either counseling. I don't know if it's too late for that. Or you need to get out and get on with your life. A life that you deserve, not one that's a marriage of one person legally, but really to three people. Steve? Crazy, right?
You know, I don't like these kind of letters because, you know, I get tired of responding to this type of thing. Yeah. When, lady, you know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's so obvious to everybody listening know what's wrong here. You done dealt with this for 21 years and you finally had enough. Now, the question, all I need to know is, have you really finally had enough? Because if you have, I have a solution for you. But let's go over it. You married to your husband, his single sister, and his widowed mama. So ain't nobody got nobody over there. All them women, his single sister and his mama, they got him. And he there. Can't do anything without their advice. Talk to him about marriage, kids, finances. Probably talking about sex life, too. He is. Talks to his mom as if he doesn't have a wife and four children at home. An argument that we have, he calls his sister, gets her opinion, and of course they hate you. Yes, they hate you. He's always available to help his mom out. When they call him, he'll do whatever they need to do. Leave you to run to your house with the kids. When he home with us, he watching cartoons. We all know what this is. I know this is not right, and I sound crazy for dealing with this for so long. I know you do, lady, and you know it too. You just need some confirmation here. That's why I'm reading your letter again. I should have dropped him off at his mama's house a long time ago and let him be one big old happy family. I value your advice, Steve, so give it to me straight. What should I do? How can I get this grown man to stop being a mama's boy? You can't. You can't. 21 years. You cannot change what he is. Rule number one, ladies, always notice about mama's boys. Mama's boys can't become your man.
Uh-oh.
That's the rule.
Say it again.
Mama's boys can't become your man. You can't serve two masters. You can't be the head of two households. You can't happily have two wives. Something has to suffer. Even a dude that's got a chick on the side, somebody has to be number one in the pecking order. Ain't no two number ones. No such a thing.
I confirm that.
No such a thing. Somebody has to play the number two role. Your husband, number one priority is his mama. That's not fitting to change. He's a mama's boy. I don't know how old he is. You didn't say in this letter, but y'all been dealing with this. You've been dealing with this for 21 years. Let's just take the low end of it. Let's just say you got married at 20. He 41. The fact that he 41, laying on the couch watching a cartoon.
That is crazy.
Right there. A cartoon at 41. Right there. And that's all he do until his mammy call. And that's what you refer to her as. So that's what I'm going to refer to as. You didn't put that in the letter. Your mammy call. I'm pretty sure she mammy at
really? Really?
Oh, you can believe it. Your damn mammy call. And your wench ass sister.
Oh.
I'll be back with the rest of this letter.
Whoa.
Finish talking about your mammy and your wench ass sister.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part two of your response.
Here's the thing about a woman who's been in this situation so long. Because just like women who stay in bad relationships long, because you are such nurturers by nature, such healers, and such people of, you're just nurturers. You think you can fix it. If I just keep loving him, praying about it, it'll change. Well, if you're praying for somebody that don't ever pray for themselves, I don't really know how that works. You're praying that an alcoholic go get help. But until the alcoholic want to go get help, he can't go down there.
Right.
You stay in this relationship because you keep thinking it will change. 21 years and it hasn't changed. Shirley made another point that he's ignoring the vows that he took. To leave all others and cleave only unto you. He didn't hear that. When the preacher said that, he was looking at his mama longingly.
Not longingly, Steve.
ain't mama. Gonna move far away from you, mama. This was stuff he was saying. I'm mad at her, but it's still you, mama. This is what a mama's boy is saying at the wedding. I'm mad at her because we sleep together, but it's still you, mama. You married a mama's boy. So he didn't hear that part. When do you promise? Do you vow to leave all lovers and cleave only unto her? I cleave only unto you, mama. This was the voice that was playing in his head during the wedding. So he missed that. Shirley also mentioned that you might consider counseling. I like to use counseling because I have a talk show. I've learned that from my white listeners, that counseling is a very effective form of dealing with situations and problems. Until I had this talk show, I never thought counseling was worth a damn. But since I have a talk show, I've recommended counseling several times. Well, it ain't going to work in this case. Because everybody in this letter black.
What that mean?
In order for counseling to work with black people, you must take all concerned parties to counseling. His mammy ain't going.
Everybody ain't going.
Oh, you let this little prissy heifer talk us into some counseling. Wasn't nothing wrong with us before you married her. Now all of a sudden you married her, and now we just crazy people. Ain't nobody crazy but her, sitting up there just making babies.
Oh, we need counseling. Mm.
Yeah, y'all need counseling. But her mammy, his mammy ain't going. And you know his single sister ain't going. Because she's somewhere eating.
What?
The single sister overweight.
How you know that? In the letter.
I'm just throwing it out there. She ain't got nobody. I'm talking about excessively overweight. She overweight and ain't a good person. You can be overweight and get a man. There's some cute big girls out there.
Yes, it is.
Get men all the time because they're nice people. They got that sexiness about them. You know, there's a lot of Ashley Grahams walking around in the hood.
Yeah.
She ain't one of them. She's not Ashley Graham. She's Ashy Damn.
Wait. Say
don't
it
make
again.
It repeat.
No, Ashy B Damn. Ladies and gentlemen, you are dating a mama's boy, and there's nothing you can do about it. There is no cure. Now, what should I do? Do not spend the next 21 years of your life in misery. Don't do it. Let him go on over there. This could be the thing that jars him. The thought of losing you could jar him up. I don't know. But do you want to do another 21 years like you did? Ooh. Or do you want to have a different 21 years? You make the decision.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. Our girl is...
Cheryl Underwood.
I was just loving and listening, baby. I was just loving listening.
Cheryl.
But hey, Shirley, darling. Wait a minute. Before I get to what I'm really going to talk about, what's with the mamas? I done dated a lot of mama boys because me and they mama was the same age. You know?
You was babysitting.
Oh, yeah. We at the kitchen table with our house coats on, drinking Sanka, listening to Johnny Taylor. Sanka. How you think I got to your son? Okay, I'm sorry. Did I go too far?
Too much.
Well, okay, just because her son is 45 and the mama is 75. Okay, anyway, here's my point of what I want to talk about today. Everybody's talking about what the young people are doing, and I think this is amazing. Don't y'all think this is amazing?
Yeah, we've been talking about it all morning.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're talking about it, and I'm not saying it just because I work at this network. I'm saying it because CBS did this really good report where they talked about some people that used to be in the NRA, and nobody's against the NRA. I believe everybody that got a gun should be a member of the NRA so we can change how they do and think about things and use them for good. But they also talked about this guy named Richard Feldman, who's a former NRA lobbyist who now has the Independent Firearms Association, who believes that long as the Second Amendment rights are protected, there needs to be some changes in gun laws, in gun restrictions, and in gun ownership. And I think that's great. People can come together for good. But I think we all need to support these kids. Why? Because Dr. King, Andy Young, Alden Brothers, Jesse Jackson, they were young people working in the civil rights movement. A. Philip Randolph was a young man when he thought about the March on Washington, when he gathered 18,000 black people to come together in Madison Square Garden to talk about change. He was a young man of Phi Beta Sigma when he did that. They were young men in Alpha, young men in Kappa. They were young people doing this. And last but not least, Ruby Bridges, That little bitty girl was 6 years old when she had the courage to walk in that school. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any fear. So when you're talking about what these young people can do, they can do it. And if you can do it in Florida, if you can bring people together multiracial, multicultural, then you can do it in Chicago. Then you can do it in L.A. Then you can do it everywhere. And we're going to help support this movement. What do we have? A microphone. A microphone to let these kids' voices be heard. And then we stand beside them. They need money, they need support, and they need our prayers. And we support anything that a young person is doing for good. I'm out, Steve Harvey, and holla at your mama.
Cheryl.
What? I said, holla at your mama.
Yeah, you did.
Did I not say Tommy?
You said holla at your
Junior,
mama.
Junior, where your mama at? Because you know I'm getting with you at Sandy Soul, so I need to buy your mama.
Coming up in about 10 minutes. Thank you, Cheryl. Sister Odell will be in the building.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's time for Sister Odell, darling.
Hey!
I forgot my own intro.
Yeah, you did.
Ain't that crazy?
It is.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning, Sister Odell.
I don't know why I was waiting on the interest. That ain't even the way I just usually just come on in.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for reminding me, Shirley.
You're so welcome, Sister
Odell.
Sweet,
that's the first sweet thing you've ever done.
No, it's not, but I'll take it.
It is. I just said it was.
Yes, ma'am,
it's
you're right.
It's the first sweet thing you've ever done.
You're so right. You're so right. Up
See,
until
you
this
just
very
keep
moment.
It's all right, though.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard what Tommy said about your eyes. How long have you been sick?
I am not sick, Sister Odell.
Ain't you got, what has you got? What has she got, an eye roll? What, Tommy, you got eye rods? I've never heard of eye rods, but I heard and of thyroids.
Neither have I.
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah, he made that up.
He made it up.
Yes, ma'am.
That's kind of funny, though.
Uh-huh.
You got eye rods anyway. Uh-huh. You're a cute girl, Shirley. You always nice and well done up and everything.
Wow.
That's a good thing.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me ever, Sister
Well,
Odell.
Hold on, because there's more with it.
Okay.
Don't get excited.
Oh, man.
Don't get front yourself.
Oh, sorry.
Front
it's
yourself.
Good that you do all that, because you can't cook at all. So might as well give a man something to look at. You sure ain't going to have nothing to eat. Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Well, a lot of things are going on in the news, Sister Odell, but we'll just touch on a couple of things.
Let me tell you something. Them kids down there in Florida, they messed with the wrong one. The white kids finna change some things.
Yes, ma'am, they are.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm all for it, too. About time.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
They
will not be ignored. Yeah.
What?
What happened?
Excuse me. I've been working on that. I've just been so pressed up lately serving the Lord, I done forgot.
Oh, okay. Hey, Sister Odell, over the weekend, did you get a chance to see Black Panther?
Girl, I went out there. That's a good movie.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. Did you like it?
I love that movie, Black Panther.
Yes.
I was in there, you know, what's the boy that played?
Chadwick Boseman or Michael B. Jordan?
No, not Michael B. The star.
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick.
Yes. King T'Challa. Mm-hmm.
King T'Challa. That's I knew his great-great-great-grandfather.
Oh, did you know?
Who was that?
From Wakanda?
No, King T'Challa. We dated.
How did you meet him, Sister Odell?
Well, one time I was in Africa on a mission.
Uh-huh, yes.
You know, saving souls.
Mm-hmm.
And we was on a safari, you know, and it was all on foot because they didn't have, you know, Range Rovers back then. We was on foot. This great big old African jumped out the bush.
Yes, ma'am.
Had a bone through his nose. He was a big man, too. He had an elephant bone in his nose.
Go ahead with this stereotype.
Girl, and he jumped out. I said, good Lord Almighty. He said, I'm going on your eye. I said, come on with it then.
He said, what?
I said, well, I bet you won't. I stayed with him for 3 years over there. Just swinging on
Africa
vines.
Africa for 3 years?
Swinging on vines, making corn.
going to get water. He drank a lot of water.
Stay hydrated. Stay hydrated, yeah.
You know.
Wait. What did he say?
I just got it. I got more as soon as he said it. I said, I know that's right.
Well, picked me
up and threw me over his shoulder and spanked me and carried me back to this hut, and he was king of everything.
Wow.
He had his own money.
Yeah, that's quite a story.
Everything. We broke up, though.
Oh, yeah, how'd you break up? What happened?
Well, he had 15 wives, and I couldn't stand 14 of them.
Oh.
I was number 15. When I came in, Lord, I was fine. They were so upset with me.
Oh, okay.
Really? I had breasts and everything back then.
Back then.
What you got now?
Back then, yeah.
That ain't your business.
Yeah.
What I got is a brain, something you ain't ever had.
Well, Sister Odell, this brings me to the other big story of the day.
No,
Shirley. We talked about this. Be careful.
Well, you got to tell it, Carla.
Yeah, it's like...
Tell me what?
I'm not doing my job properly if I don't say anything. You know, I'm always in this...
Why's I got the feeling there's finna be some other kind of news?
Well, Sister Odell, I mean, please understand
the spirit in which I'm telling you this,
just so you'll know. I mean, he has such an influence on everyone.
Buckle up.
Evangelist Billy Graham passed away yesterday morning.
99 years old.
He was the preacher to the presidents, they used to call him. He met with just about every president.
Crusader?
Yeah. Starting with Truman all the way to Obama.
Sister Odell?
Donald Trump knew him as well.
Oh my God.
Sister Odell.
Odell.
Sister Odell.
I hate to be the one.
Sister Odell.
You got to be kidding me. I know this.
She's trying to hold me.
I'm trying.
It's heavy.
I'm trying to stay up, Junior. Hold on, grab me. I got you. Billy, I got you.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Show.
Get her out of here!
Wait a minute now!
You can't do this to me!
Hold on, this is my job!
Tell her to go!
Let her talk.
Go.
Let, her, let her talk.
Jesus!
Just be calm. Just let her talk.
I'm not disrespectful to my elders, but my God!
Okay, shut your mouth! Jesus.
I am not disrespectful, Sister Odell, but you are not going to stop me from doing my job. Now, enough is enough. How dare she jump on me?
Let her talk, Shirley. Just let her.
Oh, my God.
You gotta calm down, Shirley.
Let her calm down.
He's going home. See, he wrote a book, and that's why I'm talking a little calm. We've been on commercial break. So he wrote a book saying nearing home.
Yes.
So if anybody going to heaven, it's him. Okay. But let me straighten you out on something.
Listen, Sister Odell, that is not necessary.
What you gonna
name
quit
calling
you doing.
Is not necessary.
You don't tell me what's necessary.
Well, wait a minute.
You hitting below the belt, and that's not cool.
Like Shirley. That's not cool, Sister Odell.
People don't care for you.
Did you know?
That's very well true.
Did you know Billy Graham?
I knew his grandfather, Graham Cracker. I knew his cousin, Cracker Barrel, and I knew his Uncle Shoney.
They all got buffets.
They was in food business, because they would set them up after church.
Okay.
Hey, Shirley, you going to tell the other news?
And I hadn't noticed that he was gone. Billy Graham is gone. Lord Jesus. But I had to gather myself. because he's been such a Christian for so long. He going to heaven, unlike someone else.
About Dennis Edwards, you mean? Oh, no.
You gonna tell
oh,
it no.
Oh, don't tell it. Don't tell it.
No,
don't
Shirley, don't Junior, that. Tommy, no. No more. No. She can't handle this.
You yeah, but it's Sister like she lashes
she
out at
get
us.
Together.
It's just,
you
heard
her
it's
feelings.
News. I love
Shirley,
Billy Graham,
you,
too.
See, Shirley, you know, is I knew something was up when you said, think I should?
Yeah.
See, but, you know, because you relishes.
No, that is.
You relishes in hurting me.
I don't know
what that's
you
what
got
she
that
loves
from.
To do. Yeah. Carly don't ever do it.
I do.
I comes I on this show and Carly just as sweet to me. Junior is
yes,
respectful.
Yes,
even
ma'am.
That little ignorant boy, it's got, he's good to me most of the time.
Sister yes, Odell, I'm
but you, Shirley, I'm is just, always a constant thorn in my side.
I'm
you're
just doing
evil.
My job, Sister Odell. I am not evil. I am not disrespectful. I am
see,
a professional.
See how
though.
You're running your mouth right now? You think you let a woman get herself together after hearing such tragic news. But are you just like that damn president trying to just give your point
what?
Of view? You just
oh,
like Donald Trump.
You're going to take that back, old woman. You're going to take that
old
back.
Old woman. Ooh.
Oh, Shirley.
Old woman.
No, did you hear what she said to me?
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
like
yeah,
the president.
Yeah, I didn't whisper.
You said I was just, oh, no.
Oh,
no,
everybody
no.
heard it. I no, didn't no. whisper. You just like Donald Trump.
Well,
it's
why?
Always
no.
about you
see,
trying to fix
oh,
what's wrong with you. You don't care about other people.
I see she,
you just no, like the president.
He
only thing different between her and Donald Trump is they have
that's
them.
Below the belt, Sister Odell. That's insulting.
I
you can't
swung below the belt, girl.
See?
That's why
see?
I did it. That's why I swung it from, yeah. because she does it to me, Carly.
No, I
and
don't.
And you don't ever stop this heifer from
I
disrespecting her elders.
You don't take it well, Sister Odell.
Did you
like Dennis
see
Edwards
the movie
of the Temptations passed recently. I didn't tell you about that
Shirley,
one.
I
did you just say
you
that?
Not to
oh my God. Oh my God.
I didn't even say that.
I said it. I didn't
you
mean to say it. I was saying I was trying to tell her.
Did you just say
I
it?
Didn't
you just
say
it then.
She said it.
Oh God.
Did she hear it?
I don't know if she heard it. Maybe she didn't
know.
Hear it.
She heard it. I'm looking at it. She heard it.
I dang it. But
Sister Odell, don't do this.
Why am I wrong if
Sister,
I tell
wait,
her
let's
the
check
news.
On her. Sister Odell?
Sister Odell, what you doing?
Sister Odell.
She looks like she about
come on now.
Oh, no. Come on, sister.
Yeah! Critter, you need to leave right now. You need to leave.
You do.
Let it out.
Let it out. Really, that one slipped, though. I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
I didn't mean to
wow.
say it. It's just, it makes me
what
so mad.
What is good for absolutely nothing? Say it again. Wow.
He didn't sing war.
He didn't sing war.
What is it good for?
He sang don't look any further.
That's the wrong song.
Standing on shaky ground.
Just my imagination.
Oh my it was no, just my that. Imagination. Wow, Lord, oh, not did
don't look any further with this jam.
Girl, I think you should leave for a minute. I really do. I think you should.
You why think should so, I Tommy? Leave?
Well, just what? Let her have this.
She can know? Have it.
Whoa.
All I do is try to do my job.
Who?
Why she keeps
he did not
good
sing
God.
There you go, Sister Odell, right here.
What is?
It's for you, Sister Odell.
Oh, hell. Hell.
Junior Mafia, get money.
Oh, yeah. Don't look any further.
He going back and forth. Steve, this is the whole
thing. He can't keep up to her.
Character's killing it.
This temptation.
Can't believe this fool playing in my radio. I can't stand you, Shirley.
In the world, I
can't I stand you, Shirley Strawberry. You make me sick. Wow! Wow!
That's Edwin Starr.
What is it good for? Just like Shirley, absolutely.
Oh, that's why he's singing it.
I hate her.
I mean, she.
Go to break, Emma. Go to break. We'll be back. I don't want Dennis Hammer. Oh, this happened to kill Billy Graham.
No, I did not.
Yes, you
How
did.
How did you get that out of that?
You did. It. You did it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's that time. Let's get to it. It's the one and only Carla Farrell with Reality Update.
All right,
finally,
thank you,
back
nephew.
To the show.
Yeah, back on
you
track.
Almost got kicked out of here today.
Yeah, you got the man. Dang, he's out of control.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, let's talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. You remember, a couple of days ago, the strawberry letter, Shirley? What was the title? I'm married to a bugaboo. What was the title?
Oh, my man is bugging me.
All right, yeah, and Steve, you talked about all these roaches
and
what was going on. Well, guess what? Real Housewives of Atlanta, Roachgate.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Roachgate. Roachgate. Yes, Junior. So here we go. Last week, you know, the women went to Spain. Cynthia put together this trip for them to Barcelona. And Kim and Kenya, they did not go. They skipped the trip. And remember I told you that Kim didn't want to go because she had health issues and she wanted her husband to go, but he wasn't invited.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, on the way to the airport, NeNe made it very clear that she doesn't believe that Kim has all of these health issues like cancer, stroke, thyroid, open heart surgery.
Thyroid just again? NeNe, we still talking about
who makes up this stuff, though?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, y'all know I got cancer. Who do that?
Well, so the bone collector, your girl Sheree, which Shirley, we just gonna call her the snitch.
Yeah.
She just be just ratting
Running
folks
back.
Out. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, she told Kim what NeNe said. They fast forward, they get to Spain. Sidebar, they don't like the accommodations that Cynthia put together. They didn't think the house was fly enough, so they weren't really feeling the location for the house. I mean, where they were and all that. But anyway, Kim snapped back, she clapped back, I should say, to the ladies. She sent this big group text to Barcelona, to the girls in Barcelona with the video. She clapped back to NeNe, and she talked about NeNe having roaches in her house and that her daughter, Brielle, took a video of roaches being in NeNe's house.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, NeNe was not having NeNe went off. She called Kim everything. She called her a bald-headed bee. It was. NeNe went in on your girl. She talked about her house being new, that she didn't have any roach problems, and it just went on and on and on. So now you know it's game on between NeNe and Kim. So
any roaches on video?
But wait a minute, Carla. Where were those? Were they water bugs? What was that?
Yeah, you know, you couldn't really tell on the video. It was kind of grainy. Were they water bugs? I don't know what.
I can tell you right away. Just show me the video.
Okay, I'll show you the video.
I'm an expert. I'll tell you right away what they are and what they ain't.
He the roach specialist, though?
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I'm more than y'all. I can tell you that.
After yesterday, I'm going to have to say yes to that.
You're doggone right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I could have been a spokesperson for Orkin. Yeah.
I'm glad you decided not
Trunk
to do that.
Everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, hit me up on Twitter. Tell me if you're on Team NeNe or Team Kim for the clapback of Roachgate. Do you think Kim went too far?
I just think the whole thing was crazy. Sheree, first of all, shouldn't have called. What is she calling for? Right there.
I like Sheree, though. I do like Sheree.
All the men love Sheree.
All right.
I'm not in that line. Don't say all men.
Well, most men. How about that?
Everybody in the hell, you ain't it.
She seems like a nice girl.
Oh, yeah. I like her. Yeah, for sure. All right, Carla. We got to go. You have more?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. That was good.
Yeah.
Sheree don't have roaches, do she, Carla?
No.
We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this. I know. That's crazy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yesterday, massacre survivors from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School marched. The hashtag Never Again March to Florida State Capitol in Tallahassee. Also last night, there was a town meeting on CNN. Wow, powerful. There were students, teachers, political leaders, and a representative from the NRA. One representative, her name was Dana Lesh from the NRA, Republican Senator Mark Rubio. They were all in attendance. President Trump, he directed Justice Department to draft a ban on bump stocks, a device that makes it easier to fire rounds quicker. This was the same device used in the Vegas mass shooting back in October.
Excuse me one second, Shirley. Bump stocks do not affect the sales of guns or rifles at all. It's an aftermarket product. It's like
you buy the gun, then you buy that, then you buy the bump stock.
It's like you buying rims for your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to the students, these unbelievably just so bright, so articulate, so smart students. Take a listen. Here's what one of them had to say.
We're just kids. Mm-hmm. I know myself, I'm only 16. I'm a junior in high school. Most of my worries are, what show am I going to watch at 6 p.m.? When do I do my homework? How do I fit in rehearsals for theater? I know for my other colleagues, it's sports or maybe film. But everybody needs to remember, we are just children. A lot of people think that that disqualifies us from even having an opinion on this sort of matter. As if maybe because we've been through a traumatic experience that we don't know what we're talking about, that we're speaking irrationally. And I want everybody to remember that is not the case. We, more than anybody else, understand the violence that comes through certain guns. We, more than anybody else, understand what it feels like to lose somebody. Sorry, it's difficult to talk about this sort of thing. The way people today have greeted us, or not greeted us, is that we aren't being taken seriously enough. Now, I personally don't know the steps that we're gonna have to take, but once we figure that out, we're gonna take them, and you better believe we're gonna take them as soon as possible. We are old enough to understand financial responsibilities. We are old enough to understand why a senator cares about re-election or not. We are old enough to understand why someone might wanna discredit us for their own political purposes. But we will not be silenced. It has gone on long enough that we, just because we are kids, we are not allowed to understand. But trust me, I understand. I was in a closet, locked for 4 hours with people who I would consider almost family, crying and weeping on me, begging for their lives. I understand what it's like to text my parents, goodbye, I might never ever get to see you again, I love you. I understand what it's like to fear for your life. But it's going to happen, and it's going to happen before my lifetime, because I will fight every single day, and I know everyone else here will fight for the rest of their lives to see sensible gun laws in this country, and so that kids don't have to fear going back to school. Because I want everybody to know, I'm supposed to be going back to school in less than a week. I'm not ready. I don't think anybody here is ready. I don't think anybody here is ready to go back to class and just have an empty seat. And you know that that empty seat is because someone's dead, because somebody lost their lives. And I don't know how I'm gonna cope with it.
See, now that's what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. because this generation is gonna be the one to change.
It's smart, man.
All right, and we'll be back with Steve's closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we are back. Here is Steve, just one more thing in our closing remarks.
I want to give you an analogy, everybody, that I came up with a long time ago about reaping the harvest of your labor. I think that's what all of us want to do. Most folks I know don't mind working. So if you work, you want to get paid. You want to reap a benefit. So growing up around the farm with my uncle and my grandfather, I learned some things about farming that I've applied to my current life. If you look at yourself as a farmer, which we are all trying to grow some crop that will one day benefit us in selling at the market or being able to have a big spread and eat and sustain our life. But before you can benefit from this, you got to till the earth. You got to till the ground. You got to get out there and you got to turn that soil over to prime it and getting ready for plant. So when you plant, you want to make rows. So let's say you walk your mule down to the end of the row with a plow attached to it. When you get down to the end of the row, you stop. You're going to go back to the beginning of that row, and you're going to start dropping seeds in the ground and cover them up with your hand as you go. This is how you start the process to being success. After you've covered it, it takes a long time. This is not a day's process now. You go back down to that row after you plant all your seeds and you cover them. You hook yourself back up to the plow, and you come all the way down that row back to where you started to make your second row. You unhook yourself from the plow, and you go back up there, and you drop some more seeds in the ground. and you start covering them up till you're all the way back at your plow, which is one row over from the row you first started in. Now, when you look at your row that you first started in, it's time to start watering the seeds that you planted. And you walk down there and you water, 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 water. You come back down to the beginning, you hook yourself up to the plow, and you start making your third row of seeds. You got to constantly be planting seeds. And when you make that third row and you get down at the top, you go back to the second row and you start watering that row. Well, by the time you get to round row five of planting, row one is starting to sprout. There's some crop coming up out the ground. And when that crop comes out the ground, what you don't want to do is go over there and start eating it right away, because it ain't even came to fruition. It's not full bearing fruit or full bearing corn. You're just going to be eating stalks. So you got to be patient and let it grow so it can turn into something. Now, along the way, you start making your other rows. You got to go back every now and then. You got to put out pesticides because the haters is coming. You got to put pesticides out to protect from against the little haters, the little people that's trying to eat your crops before they grow up. Put some pesticides out. So you go down there and you keep planting your rows, and you got 30 rows made. 30 rows, you look down there, row one starting to bear fruit. Now, you can go down there and you can start eating off of row one. But row 30 still needs to be tended to. Row 15 needs fertilizer. You need water sometimes. Sometimes you got to cut them back. Sometimes you got to walk back through your crops and check for weeds. Have you hired somebody? Or you allowed a relative or a friend to infiltrate your plan, and they down there just messing up your garden, digging holes in it and knocking over your crop? You got to go back and you got to de-weed your crops. You got to get rid of some people, because if you're not careful, they back there messing up what you done worked for. And just keep planting rows. Just keep planting seeds. You just keep covering up with dirt. You just keep watering them. You keep going back and provide pesticides until you look up and you got so many rows. So many rows. And the further you look back, there's more crops coming up out the ground. There's more trees bearing fruit. There's more corn stalks producing corn. And now you can go back and eat. That's what they call fruits of your labor. That's when you can go back and you can start eating. But you got to constantly tend to the garden, man, because the pesticides are always a problem. The weeds growing up amongst your crops is always a problem. We are all farmers in life. We are all hoping to reap the benefits. Now, sometimes as a farmer, a drought hits. Ain't no water. Sometimes as a farmer, a flood come through. These are the things that happen in life all the time. Because floods and droughts hit farmers, they don't stop farming. They know they got to start again. And they just do it because they understand that's the process of reaping the benefits of harvesting from your labor. They understand that. So farmers don't stop farming because the drought come. They run through the dry spell, and they just keep planting because they know the sun is coming up. They know that the flood's going to dissipate, and they're going to have to be, and then they'll be successful. Keep planting, everybody. Keep tending to your garden. Keep guarding yourself against the haters with the pesticide. Keep getting out the weeds out your garden. Tend to your crops. They will pay off in the long run, because all of us at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of farmers out here. That's all it is. All right, y'all have a great one, man.
Hey, thank you. Huh?
Just trying to keep you encouraged. Hey, keep farming.
You do that.
I'm going to do it, huh?
You do that.
So we finna open up our own Whole Foods or something?
All of that he just told you, and that's what you got out of that? That we're going to open up our own?
I mean, we finna get some tractors. I mean, some, you know what I mean when I say
garden tools.
Yeah. And how many rows we got? You said row 30, row 50. How many?
He's so stupid. I mean, God.
What we should do is do weed and food. That way we sell weed, then people get the money.
Stop saying we. Get your own garden.
We need a weed / grocery store.
Steve, that was brilliant closing remarks. Your nephew on the other hand.
Spend all my time trying to carry.
Ain't got no mentoring yet.
Steve, take us home.
No mentoring.
I said have a great weekend. He messed that up.
It's Thursday. Okay. Yeah.
I'm working this weekend anyway.
You going to be in the field?
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.